Hey, you guys, before you start freaking out that we're speaking in English, I just want to tell you that it's not something that's forever. We haven't really decided, but we're going to try it out since not all of you, but a few of you preferred that we do it in English, right?
Right. You could say that we're dating around in the language pool. We don't want to, you know, upset the people who voted for keeping it in Swedish, but we're just going to try this out and see how it feels. And then it might be a forever thing. It might not. We have some guests that might come in and not be comfortable in speaking in English. So then we'll, of course, accommodate those and do it in Swedish if necessary. But I mean, generally, I think that both of us feel more comfortable in English anyway.
100%.
Because we use English in our daily lives more than Swedish since we live with foreigners, I was about to say, which we are too. But and you might have already noticed when we do speak Swedish, we mix in a lot of English, and we've talked about that before. So
which we don't do the other way around. So like when we speak in English, you won't hear us just randomly mixing in Swedish. So I'm excited for this.
Me too.
And I guess like what we decided as well, since we got some questions that we'll just do around, we picked a few of them to answer. So yeah, this'll be fun. We haven't really prepared, but we did like an even split between the questions, and then let's see where it goes.
So welcome to the English Q&A episode of this The Working Moms podcast.
Yes.
I'm gonna start.
Yep. Shoot.
Because I have a really good question here, and I'm wondering the same thing. So this came from one of our friends that asked. And she asked us, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received from another career mom about maintaining a work-life balance?
That advice I actually got like not too long ago. I think it was a few months ago at like a lecture about something completely different. Yes. And it's the fact that there is no work-life balance, because you can't split it evenly, but that you should just think of it as different phases in your life, where sometimes work will take 80% of your time and then rest of the things in your life will have 20, and the other way around too, obviously. I think I kind of knew that already, but when you just hear someone that's like older than you, that's been down that road, has older kids, maybe more kids, say it at the same time as they've had like quite the career and advanced, it just felt like a reassurement. And I kind of took that with me. And I think about that like probably every week when I'm stressed. What are your thoughts on that? You agree?
You took my reply.
Oh.
Because when I read these questions, I was thinking about it in case I was first one out, which I wasn't. But I was going to say that the advice I've taken to heart was actually a secondhand, handed down advice that you told me about. Because
it's what I do. I spread my knowledge and wisdom.
Or other people's knowledge this time around.
Whatever. But, still with pride.
You told me about this. We've talked about it in the pod as well, this lecturer. And not just that there is no work-life balance, but also this that you only have 100%. So it's impossible. Yeah, and that's really stuck with me. Like, you have 100. How you divide them is up to you, or what the moment requires. Yeah. But you don't have 120 or 200. No, so you cannot be 100 at work and 100 at home, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Speaking of vice versa, you know how some people say vice versa? Why do they do that? It's so weird.
They don't know.
It's really an ick for me. I'm like, stop saying
it. You know what? Speaking of icks, I have to say another thing. Now that we're talking about this person that like had a lecture, a woman, right? Mm-hmm. And even though her advice or whatever was amazing, I don't appreciate her, because we talked to each other. Like, I actually, you know, came up to her and, you know, we had a nice conversation, and then she didn't accept my LinkedIn request. So that's just like not okay.
The audacity.
I know. To reject me. Like, obviously.
But maybe she's one of those who has like 500 plus, so you don't even know how many contacts she has.
I don't know. But I felt I was special, or that I made an impression. But anyways, like, that's in the past.
To be fair, how many requests do you have just latently laying there that you haven't? I mean, I have at least like 50 invites that I haven't replied to.
I don't get that many, so it's easier for me. But anyways, like, you know, forgive but don't forget. And that's the key. the case.
You're
here.
Great, but you also suck, lady.
Exactly. That's the message I want to send out in case she's listening.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's the next question?
Should we do one each, or do you just do all yours that we divided, or what do you want to do?
Let me ask you one. I think that's fair then. Here's a good one. Do you think that it is possible, like, to advance in your career without, like, putting in any overtime or making any other sacrifices?
No. Absolutely not.
Right?
I mean, if you look at all the most successful people in the world, and this has been talked about in forums and, you know, themselves say it, they are not the people who clock in at 9 and clock out at 5.
No.
And I'm not condoning that you should be overworked or that you should work, you know, until midnight every night. But I think in order to succeed, because especially now, like, so many people are educated, they have the same educational background, they have the same even experience as you. What makes you stand out is that little extra, like, proactivity or passion for your work or you putting in some thought behind what you're doing, like, not just being a machine and doing your tasks and then expect to, like, advance. So I really don't think that it's possible. I mean, from my perspective, I'm sure maybe it is in some lines of work, but where I work or the industry we're in, digital, online, e-com, especially because it's such a dynamic industry and it changes so much all the time. Like, from one day to another, all your knowledge could just be, like, you know.
Yeah, and you got
to
keep up.
You don't even need to use it anymore, or it's not relevant for what's happening in the industry or the trends or whatever. Yeah. So if you're not keeping up, if you're not putting in that extra, like, you know, just getting down and dirty with the work, I really don't think it is. And I mean, I am all for a work-life balance, especially now becoming a mom and having a family of my own, but I still know what I bring to the table. And I think, you know, having confidence in what you bring to the table and maybe sacrificing a few nights with friends or a few holidays, or I don't know what it is, but in my opinion, I'm not saying that this is what you should do.
No, but I think for sure, like, based on probably both of our experiences, I mean, we didn't get to where we are by just, you know, leaving at a certain time or doing exactly the things that are written in a contract or in your job description. It's more of everything that's outside of that. And I think, I mean, this is probably something people, you know, could discuss forever, agree, disagree, doesn't matter. But I had a conversation about this not too long ago. When it comes to, like, you know, managing people, for example, and, like, when you have these one-to-ones and you talk about salary or career development, I'm kind of in the mindset that if you do all the things expected of you, you are then just doing what your contract states and what you are paid for in that moment.
Exactly.
And if you then want to advance or, you know, have that big pay jump, what is it that you bring that makes you stand out? Like, you know, why should you get this position and not someone else? And that's not always fair. And just like you're saying, not necessarily the right way to go, but that is very much how I, like, reason in this matter.
And I mean, if we're looking at a real life example, how my career started and what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Before I came to the big e-tailer that we used to work at together, I mean, I was a store manager. I was working in retail. I was working for a big company in Sweden. Doesn't matter. Paid job, obviously, 40 hours paid. And then what got me into that company was that I saw an unpaid internship. So my sacrifice there was sacrificing, you know, a firm job, like a permanent contract with a good salary, 40 hours a week, to go into a place where I didn't get any pay, where I didn't get any guarantee of staying after those 6 months expired.
Huge risk.
And also, I had to live with my parents because obviously I couldn't afford to not live with my parents. But that was a risk and that was a sacrifice. Like, okay, you know what? I'll try it. This is a great opportunity. If it doesn't go my way, I'll find something else or I'll find another job. But of course, it was scary, but I just knew in myself that I had to do it. And look where it got me.
Exactly.
Like, that paved the way. Was the start of my whole entire career. So maybe because I've experienced it myself firsthand, that if you don't do sacrifices or take the risk, you won't get anywhere anyway. No. So I'm very much of that mindset. But I mean, maybe some of you disagree, and it would be great to have a debate, or like if you guys want to discuss it, or if you find you have a different angle to this and can broaden our perspectives, feel free to reach out.
Exactly. But just like, just to kind of wrap up this question, I would love to see an example of, let's say, a CEO, right? That's like a pretty big top position in a company. I'd like to find a CEO that has never worked overtime or made any sacrifices to get to that position. So, you know, that would prove me wrong. But until then,
I haven't met one yet. So, you
that's what I'm saying.
Loosen the mood a little bit. It got very like, fight for your dreams.
I've barely been like laughing or making jokes.
So let's just like lighten the mood a little bit. We got so inspirational, and welcome to our TED Talk right now.
Yeah, oh my God, yes.
When are we going to get invited?
I don't know. Very soon, I think.
Anyway, just a little everyday question, which are also important because we do talk about, you know, our private life quite a lot too. Maybe more than...
A little too much.
A little too much, especially you.
Yes.
But a question we got is, what do you fight about the most with your partner? Or your husband, in this case?
Okay, like, nowadays, easy. It's everything regarding, like, our kid. You know, like, the planning around it, the blame game. Who forgot what? Who's responsible for what? So it's, you know, we're both project managers for the same little individual, and we butt heads all the time. I mean, just this last weekend, I think we were just quarreling all the time, but like about random things. Who forgot to, you know, fill the dishwasher or buy milk, and oh God, he needs new shoes, and why didn't you think of this? So that's what we fight about now, for sure. And before kids, I'm going to be cheesy and be like, we never fought. It was all just lovey-dovey. Because I really can't remember. How about you guys?
I mean, the same. I also live with, like, the calmest person on earth. So usually it's me fighting and him sitting there like a reasonable human being. And being like, okay, just calm down. Like, we can find a solution. I'm like, no, you know. Because I'm the crazy one in our relationship. But no. Jokes aside, I mean, it's very seldomly that we fight about anything big. It is like you say, it's always the small things, which I, in retrospect, or what we really try to keep an eye out for, is that even though they might seem little,
when they
kind of build up and you keep like nagging someone about the same thing, or you guys are in disagreement over something, they build up and they become this like big monster. So we really try to like break the cycles if we see that we've fought about, like, I don't know, like you say, the kid, or who forgot to buy milk, or where's the toilet paper, or you didn't clean the sink after you shaved, or whatever. You know, we really try to like, okay, let's break the cycle. How do we find a solution instead? But like, it's like you say, it's mostly every day and the blame game of, you didn't do this and I did this more, and I've taken night times 6 days in a row and now you need to do
you
more.
Start like counting
counting and like keeping dibs on, like,
exactly,
you know, 100% I need to do that,
100%. I think it's that whole thing with keeping dibs, you know, like I do that all the time in my mind. I'm like, okay, so three nights I've done this, and that means he should do it, and like I'm calculating. Like, yeah, but I think most people do that, so whatever, as long as it's not, you know, really big important core questions, it's like you'll get through it, and don't let it build up too much.
Exactly.
On to the next one then. Oh God, this is a fun one.
Okay.
I know what I'm thinking of. What is your most embarrassing mom moment? I think we will both agree on this one.
So okay, you go then.
We both like send pictures and talk about this. Not sure like this is what the person meant with embarrassing mom moment, but the fact that like you rarely get to do number two without the company of your little one.
Rarely as in never.
Like, my God, I, you know, there's no dignity left.
No, absolutely.
Because I feel like it's as if he knows, oh my God, mom's, you know, in there, she needs to do number two. Like, I'm gonna slam the door until she opens and like be there with her. So, for sure, most embarrassing.
But is it embarrassing to you? I mean, no one else is there. There are no other witnesses. But it is. Like, my God.
That was like the one time in my life where it was guaranteed you will be alone. Because no one, like, no one sane will ever want to be with you at that moment. You know? That was a moment to, like, scroll your phone or, like, do some online shopping. Now it's like, okay, just at least stay half a meter away from me, you know, like, don't touch me, don't come too close. I mean, it's...
I absolutely do not have the distance.
Oh my God, it's awful. And he'll, like, bring his toys and be, like, putting it in my lap, and I'm like, oh my God.
Or he, like, opens up my, like, panty liners or my pads, and he, like, tries to, like, glue them on my thighs and on my body, and I'm just like, please.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would maybe be one, but that's, like, a more quirky one. I don't think...
Plus, it happens all the time. It's not a one-time thing. Yeah.
I don't know, on a more, like, bigger perspective note, I don't think I've had too many, like, embarrassing mom moments.
Mm.
I think from my own perspective, I know this is just me.
Mm.
I in the beginning, felt very embarrassed breastfeeding in public.
Oh.
Okay. I know you didn't have issues with that because your titty just went flying wherever, whenever.
I was looking forward to it, putting on a show. I was like, finally, I have a baby so I can show the world my breasts.
But I felt a little restricted, and I don't know, that was something I had to deal with, but I felt really embarrassed in the beginning, and it took some time for me to, like, relax and be like, so what if the creeps are looking, then that's on them, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was always, like, trying to find an angle where my boob wouldn't even be visible for, like, a split second, or, like, covering him up, like, suffocating him under a blanket or something, you know, but that was more my embarrassment, not that everybody else thought I was embarrassing.
God, no, but I get it, that maybe takes some getting used to, but yeah, for me, I don't really relate. I never felt that, but I had other people, like, tell me, oh, you know, maybe you want to, like, go in that bush, I mean, that were embarrassed.
Yeah, yeah.
That I think weren't comfortable, and this is, like, some of my friends. Yeah, but whatever, I mean, you know, I'm not the one to listen to other people, so I was like, oh, great suggestion, I will not be doing that, but you
thanks
know.
For your input.
Yes, thanks for your input. No one cares. But nah, I don't, I mean, other than that, I think the only other moments that I've had that were maybe a bit embarrassing, but not because I cared so much, but because I knew it was not okay. And that's when I would go out with my baby and be in situations where, like, oh, I didn't bring his diapers, or I forgot a bunch of different things. And I had a friend of mine with me for coffee, and she was like, throughout those hours, like, did you bring anything that your baby needs? And I was like, this is not my best performance.
I'm not at my prime.
I had nothing. Like, it was just a big fail. But whatever. I learned from that as well.
I feel like that's a more of a you thing, though. That's, like, in your personality.
And I'm saying I learned from that. That's BS. We know I didn't. I'm like, oh, God. Well, whatever. I guess he can be without water.
And then come I, like, rolling a suitcase with his stuff. Like,
but whenever I would get together with you, I felt so safe because I knew you had, like, doubles of everything.
Triples.
Snacks and all of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So I didn't learn from that, but I just learned how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you rely on us. Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
I think we have time for a few more.
All right. This one is an interesting one. How do you prevent burnout while maintaining both your career and family life?
Oh, God. Quick answer is talk to your, like, psychologist. If you don't have one, get one. Basically, I mean, if that's...
Here we are again with the life advice.
No, but, I mean, first of all, if you've ever been close to a burnout or experienced a burnout, probably you've had kind of conversations with a psychologist or so, and know what signs to look for yourself and how to deal with it. But other than that, if you feel like, okay, this is overwhelming, just reach out to someone and have that first conversation, because it's very rare that you're going to get through it alone the first time.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like, I know how to recognize signs for myself, and then that, like, okay, I have to do something about this right now. And signs for me are that I start forgetting things, and I have difficulty, like, focusing, meaning, you know, if I'm reading an email or something, I cannot grasp the information. And then I know, okay, I'm not really feeling like myself, and I need to kind of deal with it. But if you are trying to maintain a full-time career, and like we said before, you know, do overtime or do extra things, and then be like a great mom and there for your family, very high risk of a burnout, I would say. I've been really like on the verge of that since I had a kid up until like recently, where I feel, okay, I'm dealing with this.
Mm. Good advice.
Mm-hmm. You have nothing to say. Oh, wow.
I applaud you, master.
You agree?
I do agree a lot. And I mean, it doesn't necessarily be asking for help from a psychologist. I would just say generally ask for help.
True.
If it's a friend or if it's your mom or if it's your partner or whatever, ask for help. Yes. If it's in relieving you or helping you talk about it or helping you find help, I don't know, whatever. Just ask for help and be transparent, because I think a lot of the times in high achievers, you have this sense of like, there's a shame in asking for help.
Oh,
and
for
you
sure.
are supposed to give off this image of, I can do it all on my own. I don't need any support. You know, I can have 300 tasks and work until 12. And then after bedtime, I will sit and work, you know, just like maintaining this image of like, I'm a superwoman.
Yeah.
I do it all because you don't want people to doubt your ability. No. But there absolutely is no shame in asking for help. And I've become better at that. And then the other thing I would say is that I myself have become better at, I'm maybe not so good at recognizing my, or, well, let me rephrase. I'm good at recognizing my signs. I'm just better at ignoring them, I think.
Yeah.
So, like you say, I'm
you're definitely like an ignorer.
Yes.
You'll speak out about the things and it's like, yeah, you're right. And then you're like, but let's just like put them on hold for a while.
Yeah, like when you're like, I think you should. I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. You know, I'm like, it'll be fine. That's my tagline. But I've become a little better at least at giving myself micro breaks.
Mm?
That really does a lot of difference for me. Even if it's, if I feel overwhelmed in like a work situation, just stepping away from my actual desk for like 5 minutes and taking a coffee in the reception or sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
At home, it could be like if I'm feeling overwhelmed by my kid throwing a tantrum or a lot is happening, the dog is barking, my partner is asking me something, I literally say no. I need to step away for a couple of minutes.
Like you remove
and
yourself
like,
from the
I
situation.
I remove myself. And even if it's like 2 to 5 minutes, it really helps me like reset and come back into it with like a calmer sense of self. Like I'm more capable of dealing with the situation at hand. And I didn't think that that little time could make a difference.
But
like
it
you
does.
Always think like, oh, I need
but
to go
like
to the spa.
But it's like counting to 10 kind of.
Yeah.
You know when people
like,
tell you
I
if you're angry.
A day for myself.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, I do.
Yeah, yeah.
But in most moments, it's just enough for me to like step away or just go for a quick walk with my dog or whatever. And
but that's also more sustainable because that's like a tool you use every day.
Yeah.
Whereas, oh, you know, take some time, go to a spa. Yeah, fine. But like you can do that maybe once every 3 months, if even. So that's not like a long-term solution. But one thing that I would say, again, just based on my own experience, is that if you've had a burnout before, I would say that's a good thing because you learn so much about yourself. And now I don't know if about the research on this matter, but I would say that that could reduce the risk of having one again. Really? Depends on how you deal with it. Probably a lot of cases it increases the risk, but it's more like you get to know yourself and like what tools work for you. And then next time around, you'll probably prevent it or kind of react before you really reach that point, at least for me.
So you feel like you've become more resilient since
you
had
your
burnout.
I mean, I had my burnout, I think. You started working with me then,
right? I think it was like 2016 or something.
Exactly. I mean, I wasn't away for a very long time. But it did something for me that was like, okay, so this is what it means. And this is my limit. And like, this is the reason it happened. And that helps me still today. Even though the reasons were completely different.
So your advice is have a burnout and then you'll
feel
better.
Hell yes.
We ship it for everybody. Go do a burnout.
And then you come back stronger than ever. Or you don't, whatever. But take no liability in this. But yeah.
Okay.
Mm? Oh God, I have one.
Okay, go.
Okay, so this one. I think we'll do like two more and then no one wants to listen to us anymore. No. We're running out of time. Do you think it's okay for parents or, well, specifically moms in our case, to bring their kid to work?
You're going to have to elaborate on that question. Did the person say what they mean? Like, bring your kid to work all day and they're sitting under your desk? Or, like, bring them to say hi and then leave?
I mean, no. So let me rephrase it then for you. Okay, let's say, I mean, there's, you know, these scenarios where someone has to bring their kid, like, maybe for an hour because something didn't work out. But what about, like, someone just bringing their baby a full day in the office or to, like, I don't know, a conference or something? Is that okay?
While they're working, like not on maternity leave?
I mean, I guess. It doesn't state, but I would read this question not like, oh, is it okay to come for a visit? Because obviously that is, you know, like, hey, everybody, for a coffee or whatever. But I guess mean, this is more like literally coming to work to work.
I mean, I would say no. And let me explain. I don't mean that in a way of a non-flexible no. I would mean that in a way... So if I was managing somebody who had that situation, my approach would be, I will find a solution for you with you. So then I would rather say, let's rearrange the meetings we had for this day and you stay at home and you can do like, be active when you can. I know you'll, I mean, most of the people you trust to do work anyway. So like, if you need to jump into a meeting and the baby's there, or if you're in Sweden, what's it called? Vobba, when you're like working and the kid is sick or something. Yeah. So I would rather like find a way around it. But I don't think with the flexible working setups we have in most companies today that it would ever be necessary for anybody to have their kid with them a whole day at work. There's always a way around it. There's digital meetings. We can rearrange meetings for another day. If you need to do something, then you can do other work or ad hoc tasks or, I don't know, take a course or whatever you feel like doing that day. But so no, from that angle, that I would rather find a solution for you. I wouldn't like restrict you from needing to do what you need to do.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be in the office setting, because I think that it's a distraction for many. I think maybe many people are not comfortable, you know, either you want it or not. It takes away time, it takes away focus from people. And I think like people should feel like they can come into work and be non-disturbed when they come into their workspace and be able to focus. And I think that would take away focus for a lot of people. So out of respect for the rest of the team, I would say no.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion.
I think, no, but I think that's fair. And I guess that's something I would want to talk a lot more about, because I've been thinking so much about this. I've been encountering more and more women specifically that are like coming to work or doing presentations or hosting like events and conferences, and they just have like their babies with them. And I'm talking, you know, babies, where I'd maybe at first hand be impressed because I could never do that. I didn't have a baby that I could do that with. It was impossible. But on the other hand, I'm like, you are setting completely new expectations on women out there, that it's almost like a trend thing. You have to bring your baby to work just to show you're like this power woman, or that your baby's awesome. But I don't want to dwell on this too much, actually. It just gave me kind of inspiration for an episode where we can talk more about this.
Yes.
So let's leave that one.
Do you agree with me then, or no?
Oh, I do. Okay. I do. Yeah.
I mean, I knew the answer. I just wanted
to put it on record. Yeah, exactly. We always agree now. But let's do one last one. And then I'm tired from sharing all this wisdom.
Me too. This is actually a good one to end, like an end note.
Okay.
What is the most unexpected skill you've developed from managing both your job and your kid or kids?
Oh, God. Straight up, patience. Oh, my God. I mean, I was the most, I am still very impatient, but with a kid, it's like you just have to practice that skill because this kid doesn't understand you, nor do they care. So it's really like, you know, counting to 10, 100 times a day.
All you do is count.
Basically. Exactly. And it's like, be patient, be patient. And I think now I'm able to be a bit more patient at work. I mean, with colleagues or things where before I'd be like, oh my God, how are you not doing this faster? And now I'm just like, okay. Which probably also means I've become a bit more like compassionate and understanding of other people. And, you know, that we're just different. Because you just see how kids already with their personalities are maybe different from us. I'm not saying I'm fully there. I'm not compassionate in all situations, but definitely an improved skill. So, you know, yay for me. And you?
I mean, that patience angle is an interesting one for me, because I feel, and I've talked about this with my partner and other people as well, I feel like I have so, I mean, like you said in the beginning, I'm a very impatient person. Mm-hmm. I may be more, even more impatient than you.
100% you are.
I have like, you know, ticks all over the place, and I can't like sit still. I get so like stressed out when things are
You have like physical reactions.
I have like, I get a rash, like a stressful rash when things are going too slow. But with him, my son, that is, I feel like I've gained so, like, it's a new person. And I'm not saying I don't lose it or that I don't need to go away and breathe, like I said before. Of course, when you've had, like, a whole day of tantrums because you peeled their banana wrong or whatever, you're just like, oh, my Jesus Christ, like, let me just walk away from this. But I'm saying that I have gained so much patience with him, but I have not been able to apply, like, it hasn't really, you know, spread its wings to the rest of my life.
I'm still
as impatient. And then there's like this new person that comes in when he's in question. I'm like, more like patient, more, you know, calm. I don't know. It's just, but it's just like for him, with him, to him. The rest, I think I still have work to do. But I think if I'm looking at a skill that I think I've always been, oh my God, I'm going to sound like a douche, but pretty good at it, but I've become like very good at it now, is like doing the utmost with my time. Like every minute is so
just efficient. Like optimizing.
Like optimizing your work, your mind, your hours, your work schedule, like really the time management and the optimization of my time and how efficient I can be with less time.
Yeah. Than you ever were before,
than
right?
Than I ever was before. Yeah. And I'm a pretty efficient person anyway, but now it's like reached a new height where I'm like, wow, shit, I'm really efficient.
Mm.
That has been one of my biggest skills, I think.
Talking about efficiency, 100% like agree. Oh my God, I'm saying 100% all the time. Like I have to stop.
That's all we have. Remember?
So I have nothing left to give. I've given you all my percentages. No, what I want to say is like with this whole thing with kind of optimizing your time and being super efficient, that's where I also like do not understand people that have more time than myself. And when they complain, like, oh God, I'm so busy, I have no time. And it's like, you know what? Shut up. Because you do. I know you do. You don't have this and you don't have that. And like still, you know, you're managing and you're fine. So that's where I am. Like, you know, I have zero patience. I mean, I have zero patience when someone comes to me with that.
And 100% impatience.
Oh my God, I'm getting confused with all these percentages. Anyways, I think it's safe to say we are 100% done.
Yes.
And we can round up. How has it felt doing this in English?
Oh my God, so good.
So much better, right?
So much better.
God, I'm even better in English. Like, when you just think I can't get better, I'm like, I am on fire.
A skill that you haven't acquired is being humble, but hey.
Never. Guys, you all have to just kind of, I don't know, what's the expression for that? You have to build your own confidence, you know, believe in yourself.
Yes, yeah, of course.
Exactly.
If you don't believe in you, who's going to believe in you? And that concludes our TED Talk for today. If you have any feedback on the English, or if you thought that this was the best thing since sliced bread or not, whatever, give us the feedback. You know the drill.
Yes.
Oh my God, I said you know the drill like 55 times last episode.
This
and I said it again today. Is this my new thing?
Probably. Okay. Anyways, guys, talk to you next week. And we'll probably do that one in English as well.
Yes.
Take care.
Bye.